Hey, guys? 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 Guys, seriously. Well, guess it's just me tonight. I watched 1313 UFO Invasion tonight on B-Movie Mania. Guess that's it.
There we go. Nice.
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania. And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and crazy Chris Hudson.
Rating time!
No, relax.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Welcome to the 13th episode of the season. I'm your host for the evening, Paul A. Brooks, and joining me per usual, who do we got over here? We got Mike Hayes.
Oh, sorry, Paul. I'm sorry, I was spacing out.
Well, people space out all the time, right?
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Sorry for staring. I don't see many people around here.
It's all right. We all space out sometimes, right?
Chris Hudson.
Yo, man, two things. How's the pool, and where's the beer at?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yo, man, two things. How's the pool, and where's the beer at?
And Jason Halls.
Adam?
Someone had to do it.
Adam?
Surprised it wasn't Chris, really.
Adam?
Yeah, we'll get to
he's not,
Adam.
He's not done. He's not done yet.
Oh, okay.
Adam?
I mean, this is going to go on for a solid 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah, we might want to just start, and then he'll finish doing this bit and eventually join us.
Okay, yeah, I mean, Jay, just keep that going as long as you like throughout the entire episode. We watched 1313 UFO Invasion. Welcome to B-Movie Mania.
Adam.
How's everybody doing tonight? You know, I like to check in with everybody at the start of the show and see what everybody's drinking and whatnot. Chris.
Adam?
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 Okay. Is this a coordinated thing? Did you guys coordinate this prior to the episode starting?
Did we have to?
No. I'm drinking a PBR. Jay, what are you drinking?
Pamplemousse.
Yeah, I still don't know what that is.
I've got Lafroig.
Mike?
I have a Sam Adams.
Oh.
Nice.
Very nice.
Would somebody be a deer and pull up the synopsis on IMDb and read it for me?
But take your shirt off first.
Yeah, we should probably mention to the listeners that we are in the spirit of 1313 UFO Invasion. We are all shirtless this evening. And you know what? It's late June, so it really works out pretty well.
Nice.
I've got IMDb up, Paul.
Please, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah. Monique Parent is an American actress known for smoldering love scenes and intensely charismatic characters. She has been called the thinking man's sex symbol. What?
I'm fine with that, but it's not... I mean, that's great, but not quite what I was looking for.
Oh, sorry. Hailing from San Luis Obispo...
No.
She's been in such films as Cuck and Magic House.
I'm sorry, Cuck?
Yeah, something called Cuck. I don't know. It's from 2019.
All right, hold on. Just gonna jot that down really quick.
Yeah.
I'm also pretty sure she's been in some hardcore porn films.
No, it's all. That's all she's been in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, this all makes more sense.
So you could do a Pornhub search.
Jay, would you like to read the synopsis for 1313 UFO Invasion, since Mike is more interested, understandably so, in Monique Parent?
Okay. A group of friends show up to an abandoned party at a fancy Malibu house.
Yeah.
Only for all of them to wind up getting stalked and abducted by an alien masquerading as a seductive woman. I mean, that literally says the whole thing. Rating time.
Rating time.
I mean, that's it.
You know, Jay, that's still a little too wordy for my taste. I bet we could sum it up just as Adam.
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 Adam. Adam.
I think what they're trying to say is quick takes.
Adam.
Quick takes.
Mike, quick takes.
Good thing I got in the pool because I don't want to be a douche.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know.
No, you're good. That's fine.
All right, never mind.
Yep. Chris Hudson.
Guys. Guys.
Guys.
That's all I got. No, that's
okay,
all I
Jason
got.
Halls.
I think Joe Exotic would really like this movie.
Not what I was expecting to hear. But I like it. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dave, okay. David Dakotu, is that how you say it? How would you guys say the director's name?
I was really hoping you were going to do your own research, Paul.
Yeah.
Well, I've been mulling this over all day long. You know, it's a very French-sounding last name. Dakotu? Dakotu?
Well, wouldn't it be Dicato?
I was thinking Dicato, yeah. It's French.
Dicato. Okay.
He's Canadian, so I imagine it's French.
If you happen to be listening and you feel the need to correct us, please do, because we want to get it right. You know, I think it's safe to say that we're pretty big fans of him on this show. We've obviously reviewed one of his movies previously on the show in the form of a talking cat.
Mm-hmm. Did somebody say my name?
There it is. And
I get
he
it.
Is an absolutely prolific director. I don't even know how many credits are on his IMDb profile.
He did
profile.
Like 8 movies last year alone.
Yeah. He's out of
control.
He has
162 directorial credits.
Jesus.
Incredible.
This is who Stephen Grew wishes he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's some truth to that, I think.
You know, before we get into the plot, guys, you know, the name of the film, 1313 UFO Invasion, let's talk just briefly about maybe what that means, specifically the 1313 part.
Did anybody figure out what 1313 meant? Because I
have a theory.
Okay.
I think it's probably the address of the mansion.
Well, no, it can't be. And the reason is because he has a whole series called 1313, and that mansion that is in every single one of these 1313 movies, as well as some of his other films, has been leveled to the ground. It is gone as of 2014.
No.
Yeah. So he is now working, or at least as of 2014, an interview I read, he is working on a series called 666. So I imagined it's just unlucky numbers, is my theory.
That's a good. Yeah. That was a good theory, though, Paul.
Well, if Paul's theory were right, it would be called 1313, a talking cat.
Well, but the 1313 series specifically, because I assure you, I have watched all of them, are specifically.
I didn't know that.
You know, this sort of.
Oh my God.
What would you guys describe? Obviously, there's some homoeroticism involved.
Well, not some. It is. It's what it is.
It's 100%. It's a fashion show for men's bodies.
Correct, Mike. I'm floored. I had absolutely no. Why would his mansion have been torn down?
I don't have an answer to why. I don't even know if technically it's his. In a 2014 interview with Flavor Wire that I read, it just kind of at the end, it kind of unceremoniously says. And while the Los Angeles mansion of the 1313 series has been leveled, Dakota has moved on to a new series of homoerotic genre flicks. And he says, quote, now I'm doing similar movies called 666. I'm just trying to compete in a very difficult marketplace.
Yeah, it's a tough market.
I think it's simply branding.
I think so, too.
I think that's all it is.
They're all supernatural.
I thought the one was like a penis and the three could have been like a butt.
Yeah.
Adam.
Well, he it could be a penis, a butt, a penis, and a boob, because he is literally...
Adam.
This article is fucking fascinating, talking about how he got into filmmaking and his transition into doing, like, gay films.
Mm-hmm.
Is fantastic. It's very interesting. But he specifically at some point talks about how Titanic... Here's the quote. Okay, Titanic became the highest grossing movie of all time, and the media said that it was because teenage girls saw it 50 to 60 times, so I thought, why not make a horror movie for the same audience?
Yeah.
And so then his goal is to reach both gay and female audiences for his films, and fucking, yeah, he's doing it, baby.
Mission fucking accomplished.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that article, I think I read the same one, where... he talks about how a lot of his choices throughout the years that have sort of guided his career are pretty much financially based. I mean, he's trying to make a product that is a saleable product here.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. Yeah. Well, Mike, that article sounds pretty interesting. Let's go ahead and post a link to that on bmoviemania.com.
Oh, we shall. Actually, you know what? Especially talking about posting stuff on our website, he worked for not only... Roger Corman back in the day, but also a little guy I believe, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think Paul and Jay, you guys have met his other people, one of his other guys he worked with, Charles Band?
Correct. We did meet Charles Band.
Whoa, wait. Did you guys actually meet Charles Band?
We met him in Arkansas.
When was that?
Quite a long time ago.
Huh.
I don't recall. Can we, I don't recall. Can we post a photo of that on the website?
I got the picture. We'll post it on the website. It's Paul and I with Charles Band. It's pretty great.
Huh.
I love that recurring joke, by the way.
Hey, if you guys could, we were having a conversation yesterday, maybe the day before, about some of the things in this movie. And you guys know my thing. I want to save it for the podcast. You know, we want to talk about certain things, but I say, hold on a second, save it for the podcast. But, you know, we're doing it. So if you guys could check your email right now, we're going to do a dramatic reading of some things that were mentioned earlier in our chat group.
Wow, there really is no plot in this movie, listener. We're having to do bits the whole fucking time. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Three attachments.
Does it start with me?
Yeah, you know, we'll just read everything that all of us were saying in this. You should have three images in front of you. Do you guys see that?
Yep.
Paul, you think maybe you could drop some music in while we do this?
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
Thank you.
So, Jay, you're kicking it off here.
Okay, I got it. Okay. Okay. Let's do the music. We can save it for the podcast if you want, but does anybody know if 1313 means anything?
1313? Suck these dicks.
Yeah.
You could sing big ol' shit to the tune of chicken fried steak.
Why is that even in there?
I think there was a reference to, I don't know. Somebody said big ol' shit earlier on.
And then I say, save it for the podcast.
Why does D's have multiple dicks?
Oh, it's because Mike spelled it as Dez, D-E-Z.
Hey, Paul, we're trying to do dramatic reading here.
Oh, sorry.
That's my script line. Hey. All right, let me back up. Why does D's have multiple dicks?
Hey, no, Mike. The 1313 is more about suggested homoeroticism, not straight out ball sucking. So many dicks.
1313, straight out ball sucking.
LOL emoji. 131, get these balls in your mouth.
I wonder if the 1313 series is based off the XIII series from ancient Rome.
XIII Fist Island.
LOL!
I believe Caligula directed that one, no?
I believe he did.
1313. Fist emoji.
1313. Fistimus Maximus.
No. Hold on. You got to do that right, Chris.
XIII. Fistimus Maximus.
Laugh emoji.
Yeah. See, all this fucking gold you assholes are wasting.
Laugh emoji.
A gif of guy spending money and throwing it in the air. It's all good. We'll do a bit where we do a dramatic reading of this chat.
And the moral of the story is, see, that would have been funnier if we did it on the actual show.
Nah, this is better. This is better.
Go to store.bmoviemania.com to buy our new Save It for the Podcast t-shirt.
Yeah, and also, I do believe here, we're launching a new shirt that Paul did a great design. 1313 straight out ball suck.
No.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. It was XIII Fist Island.
I might do that one.
Fistimus Maximus.
Oh, God.
Oh, all right, guys. Well, no, clearly this is going to be...
So is there a reasonable expectation that David may hear this? I mean, it's reasonable, right?
It's like, reasonable, possibly. Yeah. I follow him on Twitter. I could easily tag him in something if I wanted to.
I don't care if you send him these three screenshots. I just want to see if we can somehow convince him to do XIII Fist Island.
I mean, if he does 250 movies a year, so I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility.
He's probably already doing it.
He's done some period pieces. Why not just get into this shit?
Yeah, isn't there a Gladiator movie in the 1313 series already? Could probably be a sequel to that.
Probably.
Hold on. I'll look it up.
Adam!
You guys just keep...
While Jay's doing that, the whole reason this episode is happening is because Chris... was going to pick 1313 Bigfoot Island for last year's marathon, chickened out for some reason at the last second.
I couldn't get a copy of it. It was only streaming on Amazon, and I couldn't find it. I didn't want to pay $60 for a goddamn DVD of this bullshit.
Hey, we do have 1313 Hercules Unbound.
There we go.
2012.
Yep.
All right. We are towards the beginning of this movie anyway. We are introduced to Adam. And Evelyn.
Adam.
And Jay, I would say that these two have some pretty good chemistry together. Would you agree when we meet them?
Oh, yeah.
Describe these two for us, if you would, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. Which two people?
Okay, so Adam...
Adam and the real estate agent?
Adam is the main character, yes, who's there to do
research. Yeah, well,
there's
a whole thing before that. That's why I'm asking.
You remember when the filmmaker had one too many hot young boys to film doing this, so he just put an expository one at the very beginning for no fucking reason?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, he was there just to go around the house yelling, "Guys?"
Right, from
guys?
The intro.
He is an anthropologist, and he's there to study xenoanthropology. He's studying aliens.
I'm studying a biocultural anthropology. Well, theoretical biocultural anthropology.
That sounds mysterious.
And he's going to stay here with his bros and work on his term paper.
I believe you mispronounced theoretical biocultural anthropologist.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, he does say that again after he repeats himself, but the kind of way where he says it differently the second time, as if what is it, Jay? As if that's going to make any more sense to anybody.
No. And then we have the real estate agent who's renting the place to him, but is also has an office in the mansion and will be staying there for the week with these boys doing her undefined work.
Right. And Adam doesn't mind one bit.
No.
I mean,
he's cool with it.
Why would any of these boys mind Evelyn being around? You know what I mean?
Well, they're like, yeah, it's 1992's Playboy playmate Monique Parent. Yeah, duh.
Is that true? 1992?
Yeah.
I have to look that up later.
And as the one surfer guy mentioned, she's kind of milfy.
Yes.
She's a little odd.
Is she here?
As far as I know.
Is she hot?
In a milfy kind of way.
Nice.
The MILF term is thrown around quite a bit in this for some reason. Now, this is kind of a strange thing. We talked, Jay, you mentioned in the plot synopsis, you mentioned Malibu, but supposedly they're in New Mexico here.
Oh, New Mexico. That makes so much more sense than me thinking it was Mexico proper. Makes so much more sense. I was like, how's he driving up to fucking Roswell from Mexico? I guess it's not that far, but what?
The mansion is supposedly near Roswell, New Mexico, even though the plot synopsis says that it's in Malibu, but it's actually near Santa Clarita and is no longer there anymore.
Oh, well.
Up next, Mike, actually, let me have you talk about this a little bit.
Sure.
We get introduced to Willie and George, our next couple.
Oh, yeah? Please tell me you wrote down the names of all these people.
Wow.
I tried.
I just named them in my notes off of what they were wearing, which usually wasn't much.
Tidy Whitey number one, Tidy yep. Whitey number two.
Well, there's Hawaiian shirts. I call yeah. Adam tank top for the longest time.
There's pube abdominal crunch guy.
All right, Mike has the floor.
I have all the right. floor. Let me speak out loud the two notes I have for this entire film.
Yeah. I like it.
Note number one, how many friends does Adam have?
And I love how they just arrive one at a time.
Yeah.
Like they're all down from Colorado. Yet they didn't carpool.
Yeah. And then the other note is not for us, honestly, and it's not for the general listening public, Paul. So if you could put a filter on this, I'd appreciate it.
Sure.
So that only David can hear this, because this is a note for David specifically.
Okay.
It says, hey, David, give these boys different color underoos so I can tell them apart. So.
Yeah.
It's a constructive note.
Yeah. Yeah, just that's for David. What about them, Paul? There's two hot young boys. Oh, sorry, let me reword this. That sounds bad.
No, that's it.
There's two hot young men who show up shirtless.
Right.
All but two people in this entire movie show up shirtless.
That's Cali life, baby.
What do? You get off the plane at LAX, tear your shirt off, pop in an Uber, then ride for 45 minutes to Santa Clarita mansion?
Hold on. You get off the plane at LAX.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, you do know
you
this.
You rip
Cali
your
boy.
Shirt off.
Okay.
You go to In-N-Out next to the airport. And then you go to the mansion.
Yeah, yeah. And Mike, come on. Don't be a douche, Mike. Just get in the pool.
Yeah, pool. Yeah. Come on, Mike. Get in the pool.
Sorry.
Okay, also, I recommend getting in the pool now. And if you don't, you're a douche.
Well, we wouldn't want that.
Hey, I got to take a pee, per usual. But so, Chris, why don't we talk a little bit about the boys are here to study, but Willie wants to immediately take a dip in the pool.
His name isn't Willie. Paul.
It is Willie.
His name is not Willie.
Willie boy, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Yes, the horny man is Willie.
That's the fucking surfer boy is Willie?
Yeah. Well, they're all surfer boys.
Well, yeah, but he's got like he's got the floppy hair kind of thing,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, his name's Willie.
Yeah, he's more obviously surfer than the other young men. But Willie, he really wants to, he's feeling lucky. He's going to get it on with Evelyn. He's never seen her. He just knows. Adam just said she was kind of milfy. So
yeah. Hey, guys.
The way this dog likes it.
Yeah, Mike.
All right, look at this. Paul's getting a tinkle going on. I think we can finish describing this movie before he gets back.
I actually thought the same thing.
All right. Go, Jay.
Well, one by one, the guys filter into the house for some reason. Uh-huh. They all wander around the house yelling, Adam.
Yeah.
Adam.
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 Or guys. Half of them wander into the gym and work out for minutes at a time.
Hurry up. Paul's coming back. Hurry up.
And then they all get taken by the alien one at a time, and the Adam is revealed to be an alien also. Then he stabs the real estate agent woman, and she dies.
No,
perfect.
No, no.
Ratings time.
So Evelyn is watching them the entire time.
And he said he wanted to keep this short.
So close.
Mike, we get a couple different scenes here of Willie sort of trying to work his mojo on Evelyn. Let's talk about that.
Do we?
What was the point of you telling us to talk if we're just going to go right back to when you left?
I did not give you permission to jump to rating time.
We didn't jump. We finished describing the plot of the film. Okay, so Willie, Big Willie's got big ideas for Evelyn. And that is, he's going to show off how cool he is by sneak slowly walking. Like, I've never seen someone walk so slow without creeping. Like, he's not creeping. He's walking.
That's good direction.
He slowly walks up to this door, and then he quietly knocks on it and goes like, hey, you in there?
It's so creepy.
Hey, you in there? I'm a hot young man. Hello? You want a beer? I got a beer.
Evelyn, you want a beer?
You want a beer in there? Yeah?
And she never answers because she was not on set.
He does that multiple times.
I would love to know what David said to these guys for direction for some of this stuff. Like when they're in the pool, you know, their general horseplay, you know, and they where they're like playing around with each other and just splashing water and half pushing each other. What did he tell? Like, guys, just do this. Or like, how did he put that to them?
Great question.
Because they do it for minutes at a time in the movie.
One thing I loved is the first guy who discovers the gym and just has to get a workout. He at least got some direction for making some comments while he's working out. And he's like, yeah, building the muscle.
But he doesn't say that, does he?
He totally
does.
He does
say comments. He does.
Mike, did you not have subtitles on?
No, I didn't. I was like slurping down some beans this time.
Dude,
so
you're the subtitle king.
I am the STK. I understand this, but
Adam,
I fucked up this time.
Adam.
Adam. Well, Jay, we get George. George is another character. George.
George is another person.
Wait, is he the one without the shirt?
Well, yes, he is, Chris, yes.
Does he have the white briefs or the black briefs?
Yes.
Well, I can tell you about the guy, is it George? His underwear are so black on the image, it almost at times look like a sensor bar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that was just my TV, but...
I will say, and I'm not going to say who, but I will say many of these boys had fine-looking outlines. One of them, very obvious, like... The head and everything is very obvious.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, and then one of them, though, I'm not saying who, but someone definitely stuffed their pants, because I've seen a wanger, or two, and they ain't shamed like that. None of them.
So, Mike, do you think he had a...
Teeny wanger.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying maybe he just felt, you know, like he maybe needed to show a little more than he had. And that's fine. I would do the same.
Jay, we get George sleeping here. And,
oh, my God.
And Evelyn comes into his room and, well, what does she, do you remember? What does she do here?
She hits him with a syringe, right?
The laser syringe.
Yeah.
And it looks like, the perspective looks like she jabs him in the dick.
Right.
It's also a baby feeder, right? Like, isn't that what that is?
What?
That's why you give kids. That's how you give babies medicine, with that fucking thing.
Yeah, we have a million of those things around this house right now.
Oh, I thought you were talking about her breasts that we never see.
No, we don't. I would like to explain one thing of why we keep saying Adam, because. Every time one of these people shows up, with no luggage, I might add.
No luggage, at random, by themselves.
No shirt.
They come in, they wander around, all of them, wander around the house for 3 to 4 minutes of screen time, going, Adam?
Adam?
Adam, no one can find anybody. Everybody is on set by themselves.
And there's like 15 of these guys?
Yeah, there's like 15. And half of them end up working out in the gym when they discover that there's a gym, and the other half end up like at the pool.
Well, because they're not douches.
So it's just, I mean, half of the lines in this script literally are Adam, Adam,
Adam,
Adam,
Adam,
guys. It begs the question.
Guys.
It begs the question.
Guys.
Why are they only calling for Adam? Because it seems like all of them are friends, or are they just all friends with Adam?
Because imagine how hilarious it would be, dude, if they all showed up saying a different name. How funny would that be? We've only met Adam, and then, like, they all one guy shows up going George, and the next guy shows up going Tom. Like, it would just be a mess.
It would just make more sense if you know, I showed up to a place that we were supposed to be hanging out at. I would say Chris, Jay, Mike. I wouldn't just keep saying Chris constantly.
You know what I would say if we were in this situation?
What?
I'd just say, guys? Guys?
Guys?
And also, this was made in 2012. It's not like cell phones were an unusual thing.
Wait, didn't she, like, kill their cell phones? Didn't she say that in, like, a reveal at the end of the movie?
Oh, God, who cares? Adam is driving to pick up a few supplies.
It changes nothing, Mike. Changes nothing.
Oh, God.
And, Chris, we get a nice little kind of history lesson here from Adam.
Adam?
From Adam?
Adam?
Is this Adam? Adam is just wandering around New Mexico, the streets of New Mexico, well, the streets of Roswell, and then eventually he parks his car in a dirt lot, wanders around. I felt like getting some Fritos at one point.
Yeah.
He wanders off into the wilderness like he's fucking Jesus, looking for. I mean, he's looking. He says he's there to look for, like, proof of or evidence of aliens or something. He's just exploring some caves and hiking.
Okay, but he also walks around with a tank top and flip flops on, and no backpack, research gear.
Yeah, like the guy's dehydrated.
He wanders into a cave, and then he walks out. Then he wanders back into the cave.
I couldn't take my fucking eyes off his pecs. I have no idea what he was saying.
Paul, really, to save our listeners some time, just put his whole entire voiceover in right here.
All right, yep.
Roswell, New Mexico. In 1947, an alien spacecraft was reported to have crash-landed in the region, and the alien occupants taken away by the military in an incident they later reported as the crash of a weather balloon. The conspiracy theories continue to this day, leading the town's very name to conjure images of alien contact more than any city in America. And over the years, the town has been happy to cash in on the notoriety.
That was great. That was really great. Chris, thank you for that suggestion. let's take a break right now.
Adam!
And we're going to hear from Dark Hollywood's Michael Hayes.
Adam?
About an exciting new product from Night Beast Industries, Sheriff Cinder's Hard Apple Cider. Michael, take it away.
I hear that guy's a dick. Has it been a long day at the office? Are you tired of dealing with this crap? Is the mayor making your life a living hell because of his refusal to evacuate the town, despite the ongoing alien rampage that has already claimed several lives? Well, citizen, take a load off and crack open a can of Night Beast Industries' latest concoction, Sheriff Cinder's Sour Apple Cider. I realize that Paul just called it hard cider, and it is, but that name once again, Sheriff Cinder's Sour Apple Cider. It has the crisp, refreshing flavor preferred by small-town sheriffs everywhere, and it's 8.4% alcohol by volume, giving you the courage not only to do battle with the violent extraterrestrials in the forest, but also to get down and dirty with your hot and horny local deputy. So try Sheriff Cinder's Sour Apple Cider today. It's new from Night Beast Industries. Drink up. You're in charge here.
Michael?
Wow.
Michael?
That sounds absolutely delicious. And by the way, just a quick note here. If you've seen Michael's daughter, she is still missing. So if you see her, please call the hot tip line. What's the
4197 squirt?
Thank you,
Michael's daughter.
Hot tip.
Michael's daughter. Not Mike's daughter. Michael's daughter.
Michael's daughter.
I don't have a daughter, but that is the helpline. I do love Dark Hollywood a lot. I listen to a lot of Dark Hollywood. But Paul, did you know that this director David Decatur did a film called Bigfoot versus D.B. Cooper?
Yes, you know, I did see that.
That was one of my favorite episodes of Dark Hollywood. I go back every once in a while and listen to it about D.B. Cooper and Tommy Wiseau.
Right.
And so I'm really thrilled to watch this movie. Maybe it's got some secrets.
Yeah, we got to check that out because as we determined on the show with my co-host Michael Hayes, D.B. Cooper and Tommy Wiseau are the same person. So it's kind of like Tommy fighting Bigfoot, which is pretty exciting.
Bigfoot, you're tearing me apart! Right?
Sure.
Terrestrial explorers and anthropologists throughout the ages have several things in common, at least the ones we can qualify as successful. Unlike the ones found in movies, they don't come in guns blazing, anarchy, and pillaging their only goal. They instead arrive peacefully, doing their best to learn about this new society, to fit in as best as they can. They engage in research, learning, and assessing, and doing their best to understand a given culture and its people. I believe the same could be said for extraterrestrial explorers.
Adam's walking into a cave, and then out of a cave.
Well, while Adam is walking in and out of caves, half of our people, like we said earlier, half of them, all they find is the gym, and the other half only find the pool.
Right.
No one finds both.
Well, okay, I hate to be the guy who says you're fucking wrong, but Big Willie does find both.
Okay, well, Willie's a special... Big Willie's a special case.
Yeah, Chris, did you want to talk about Willie's long shower scene?
I mean, he gets a long shower scene.
Jay.
With Monique Parent just, like, creeping in on him.
And she gets bored and leaves.
Yeah.
He's in there. She stands in an open doorway, and he never notices her standing there.
And we get really close to some pubes in some of those camera shots.
Oh, not close. We see the pubes. Right? We got the cum gutters just pointing right at those pubes, and we fucking see them.
Is that what they're called? Cum gutters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I've never heard that term before.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
It's a very good term.
Why don't you throw in a special kink tank for me there, Mike?
Ooh.
Kink tank.
Yeah, man, two things. How's the pool and where's the beer at?
There's the part on like a dude who's like cut, like he has the part between his legs and his stomach, and it's got like a little groove. Those are called cum gutters. This has been Kink Tank.
So you, Jack is looking for Adam, and
Adam,
he suddenly
Adam
is tied down to the bed, and I have this in here because he delivers maybe my favorite line of the film, which is
Adam.
Come on, guys, you know I don't like being strapped.
That's fair.
Come on, guys. You know I don't like being strapped.
Another guy shows up. He can't find Adam, Jay.
Max, how do we know? How do we know he can't find Adam?
It's because none of them can. So
well,
what
have they tried
instead?
Looking for him? Have they tried looking for Adam?
They look all over for him, but get distracted by something.
Have they tried calling out for Adam?
Dear listener, if we haven't said it enough, they yell at him, but then slowly walk across the same fucking...
Oh, yeah.
They all take the same path. It takes everyone 4 minutes to do the route, and it's so fucking slow, and they keep saying, fucking Adam?
Adam?
This movie could be 20 minutes long, and I am not kidding. If you edit it out, like, almost nothing is essential in this movie.
Well, I guess
I take that back. If you're in the audience that these movies are for, everything's essential.
Which is everyone. So
I saw an Amazon review that said the plot is only in the first and last 5 minutes.
Yep.
Everything else is just dudes walking around without their shirts.
Literally, there's that throwaway boy at the beginning, and he does everything. You take that, and then you cookie cutter stamp it across for the next hour.
Yeah, I mean, this everything that we've been talking about here basically just happens a couple dozen more times. Characters show up, they look for Adam, they get mysteriously tied to the bed, we see a close-up of their cells, they get turned into brainless zombies, lather, rinse, repeat. That's the movie.
And they walk off screen.
Yeah,
they don't even know
what fucking happens to them.
Yeah, there's one... Oh, there's an infuriating sequence. This guy gets zombified, and you see him walk the entire mansion in this trance by himself.
Yeah.
And then he gets out to the pool, and you're like, all right, well, surely something's got to happen here. Mm-hmm. He then just walks off frame.
Yep.
And he's never seen again.
I think it's the Corona. I think David fucking knew. That guy was walking to Corona.
Clearly, most of the characters were shot on completely separate days. Because For most of the time, it's sunny and, you know, it's very California looking. One of the day, the fucking fog rolled into Santa Clarita, and you can tell it's very obvious. And so I just think a lot of the, I think honestly, a lot of the reason why they're calling out for Adam, is to explain away why none of them ever see each other.
wait a minute. Fucking brain exploding moment. Paul, are you suggesting that David brought over these actors one or two at a time and said, hey, here's your direction. Go into this house. Yes. Slowly look for Adam. Go. Ignore the cameras. Just do that.
That's exactly what happened.
It's got to be, right?
I mean, yeah. The whole point of this, right, is to just, like I said earlier, it's to present the male body.
Right.
And so mm-hmm. that these people can... So
you don't need everybody at the same time.
Nothing
spread
matters.
Spread that feast out, baby.
We've got 90 minutes to fill.
Yeah, so that's the thing. None of this matters.
None of this matters.
The whole thing is to just get the guy on screen. That's it.
But here we go. This entire time, while all of this is going on, Adam is out wandering around in the New Mexico desert doing research. Chris...
Research, fuck you!
Research. Oh my
God. That is an insult to the anthropological
profession.
Well,
what would you call it?
Walking around in flip-flops.
Hiking!
He's hiking.
He is doing voiceover explaining the alien phenomenon.
And is he going out there to just clear his mind?
Well, what does he find out there, Chris?
Jack shit! He doesn't find anything but dehydration and maybe some caves.
Oh, but I will tell you what Willie and Billy do find. They find...
No, wait, hold on. It's not Willie and Billy, is it?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't know.
It might be, though.
But whoever they are, they find Max outside by the pool. And Mike, he's in some sort of like catatonic state.
Hey, Max has arrived.
Chris, do you want to talk about Max's entrance?
He's got the best entrance. He just jumps to the door, says, hey, Max has arrived.
Hey, Max has arrived.
Wait, if we're at the part where Willie finds him, Max is already catatonic, right?
Right. What happens here, Jay?
Well, he says, it's inside me, and then he warns Willie to not go in the house.
Which Willie
does.
So
Willie immediately goes in the house.
Yeah.
Well, he sends their friend in there to call 911 first.
Yeah. Willie's going in to stop the other guy. Yeah. Or Billy, I think Paul called him. Willie's trying to stop
Billy
from getting in the house.
I think it's Dana.
Adam!
He doesn't want that. No, that's the thing. Hold on. Okay, so they're going in, and then Evelyn does kind of reveal herself as being an alien.
Yeah, Mike, we get the big reveal here.
Oh, guess we got such a big reveal because she ties Willie to a bed,
right?
And like you would in the Batman 60s. You know, TV show where the villain describes what they are going to do or what they did. It can go. She describes what she did, but to the torture of the viewer, it is a flashback of this happening again that we've already seen to all of the young men. We see them all getting tied up again and struggling and her stabbing them. And we just see it.
There's an important difference.
Is there a very important difference?
What's flashback,
that, Chris?
Well, okay, in the earlier scenes when they've been in their catatonic state wandering the mansion, they've been alone. But
right.
We find out through this flashback that Evelyn is actually guiding them.
And I just want to let our listeners know that every time someone was tied to a bed, I took a photo of it, and you can see that on our Instagram page at BMovieMania. Adam finally comes back from his research, and he confronts Evelyn about, you know, where all his friends are. And what happens here, Jay, is absolutely shocking. Let's talk about it.
Paul, I literally have shocking twist written in my notes. You're absolutely right.
There it is. Yep. There it is.
Shocking twist.
Ladies and gentlemen, Adam is one of the aliens.
Holy dun, shit.
Dun, dun.
Who am I?
You're exactly the thing that you are most fascinated by. You've been many personas. You've been a pilot, a mailman, a government agent, a veterinarian, and now a student.
Well, right, and we should say that they're here for people's brains. We didn't ever say that. Like, they're here to collect people's brains.
Right.
And pretty much she's doing to humans what Adam suspected that aliens would do to humans.
Right.
If they were to live. So he was looking for proof of existence of himself.
Yeah, good point, Jay. We should have mentioned that. The aliens are here to, like, harvest sort of, like, body parts of humans, brain matter and all sorts of things for sort of, like, research purposes or trying to better themselves somehow.
So Adam's tied to the bed. She's telling him he's an alien. And then he's like, oh, I'm remembering who I am. And so she's like, good, let me give you some more drug so you remember who you are. As she also tells him we're eating brains and shit. And then he stabs her and kills her?
With the syringe.
It was a knife. Like a scalpel.
She dies.
She done. And so then he goes out to the pool, so he's not a douche. Credits.
And then, no, and then there's a third twist.
What? Mm-hmm.
Chris!
Oh, the third twist. Well, Adam?
Adam!
Apparently unable to cope with his newfound knowledge, runs out to the pool. And where I thought he was going to go for a quick dip because he's not a douche.
He's not a douche.
He does, in fact, prove he is a douche by then taking that same razor blade and slitting his throat. Oh. Credits.
Boom.
Now that this is all coming together, now Jay and Paul, you two being the people who paid attention to the voiceover, apparently. So also during her reminding Adam of who he is... she does then say that he has been here multiple times. He is like the bait to bring people in, right? He's been like a stockbroker and a real estate agent and all that kind of shit mm-hmm. before.
Yeah.
That means that they've gone through all these different entities of him, right? And now this one where he is studying to be an anthropologist and learning about culture and anthropology. So they chose like a persona for him that backfired effectively, right?
Yes. Yes. You know, and let me say, I have a degree in anthropology, okay?
I don't know what that is.
I identified with Adam throughout this whole film.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, I think what happened was that exactly what you said, Mike, the persona they created for him got him thinking, and he saw his ethnocentric worldview.
Oh my God.
And then when he had his entire world opened up and he realized everything that he had done and the damage that he had inflicted on this culture that he had come to study, and he couldn't live with himself. He couldn't bear it anymore. And rather than to keep doing it, he decided to end his own life.
Wow.
This is Jason Hulls as a screenwriter and an anthropologist.
Mm-hmm.
Are you upset you didn't think of this first?
Yes, I am.
Well, Jay, don't worry. I believe the 3131 series has not been taken yet.
Oh, shit.
Wait a minute. Gonna go to GoDaddy right now.
Yeah, baby.
Rating time.
Guys.
Guys?
Ratings.
Guys.
Adam?
I thought long and hard about it. And the thing is, I want to give you two options on this. I'm doing the scorecard graphic, so you got two options here to play with.
Thanks, Paul.
One out of 100 driftwood statues in stripper boots. Or one out of 100 ha 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 license plates.
Yes! I meant to bring that up! Fuck!
In the middle of the mansion on the ground floor, as everyone is looking for Adam, there's sort of it's like a half of a VW.
A beetle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bug,
With a license plate.
It's a chair on one side, and then the back of a car on the other, and the license plate says, ha 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 ha.
I think you get a really good view of it in A Talking Cat.
Chris Hudson.
God. Well, this awoke new feelings within me, Paul. Deep
glad
down
to hear it.
Feelings that I thought I was secure in the way I felt about things like this. But this, it's, I left this movie changed, Paul. Changed.
Wow.
This shook me to my core.
Damn.
And not in a good way.
Oh.
Wow. No, I'm just kidding. This, I'm clearly not in the target market for this. I get what what he's trying to do here. But oh my God. It's just like, dude's just wandering around mansions, yelling names, working out. And I'm like, I mean, I watched enraptured by everything that was going on.
I can't tell if you like it or not.
I couldn't look away from it, you know?
He doesn't know either.
I'm just as confused as you guys are right now. I need to go do some deep soul searching to really figure out what I think about this movie. So I'm not going to go with the novelty rating I was going to go with of 5 guys. But I'm going to give this instead 34 license plates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Takes route number 2 with the license plates. Mike Hayes.
Yeah.
As Kyle Kinane once said, yeah.
Yeah. This movie sucks. But no, as a movie, as a feature film, this sucks. It's on par with like those late night, if you got, you know, HBO Max isn't sponsoring us yet, but I'm gonna preemptively say you're checking out late night on HBO Max and you see those movies, those things blow too, man. All of them. Every single, there's not a single good one. The softcore porn for that kind of shit is
the Skinamax stuff.
The Skinamax shit is garbage. You know, it's no fun. It's not all that sexy. There's not enough sexy stuff in it. And there's just, it's whatever. If you're looking to see some hot young beef, like, yeah, this movie, if that's what you want. If you want to watch a guy doing hang squats or whatever they're called. I don't work out. You've seen a picture of me.
Hang squats.
You know, yeah. Oh, God. You want to see some, like, trimmed, like, can you guys see my chest hair right here? It's long.
Yeah.
These guys got buzzered up. Their pubes are buzzered, too. I should probably do that for the lady.
Yes.
I'm just saying, they keep, everything's nice and kept. Everything was looking good. Man, these are good-looking young men. If you want to see that, if you want to check that out, fucking go for it. This movie is 100% good. And so I'm going to say 16.9. Ha 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 ha.
I'm sorry, did you say 16.9 or 69?
16.9.
What the hell is that?
16.9. It's 16.9, but I'm trying to make a sex joke.
Oh. Okay. License plate.
Adam?
Adam?
Jason Hulls.
Guys.
You know, I would be curious to hear David DeCoteau speak about this demographic that he's making the movie for. Because it's like, if you're in this, if you're somebody who would be into this kind of movie, why not just watch porn? It's so ubiquitous. Like, why would you choose to this over that? I guess would be the question I would like to hear him answer.
Mm-hmm. It's the Skinamax thing. I was trying to say.
Yeah, and my thing is, well, why even do that? Like, you've got a budget. You've some kind of budget. I mean, IMDb said $1 million, and that can't possibly.
There's no way.
There's no way that's happening. But clearly, there's an audience for these. Okay.
It made money. Like, it made money. He's made one movie that lost money, and that is it.
I mean, there's the reason right there.
I guess I'm just curious. I'm curious. I mean, obviously, we kind of know a little bit about the demographic, but how well these kind of things do versus just a just a porno, you know? But yes, as Mike said, there is no plot. And okay, so my wife ask me about this.
No, your wife.
My wife.
Your wife texted me and she said, "Why are you making my husband watch a gay porno?"
Right. And we talked about it a little bit, the movie. And she said, "Well, you guys like to stay positive in this podcast." She's like, "If you had to say something positive, what would you say about this movie?"
Oh, nice.
And I thought that was really interesting because I don't have a ton of positive things to say. But if you look at the kernel of the plot, if you'd look at these guys come to a house to research, one of them's an anthropologist hunting for aliens, and he turns out to be one. Like, you could make probably a pretty cool low-budget movie on that.
Yeah.
For me, it always comes around to the Josh Kirby rule that we established way back in season one. Would I rather watch this movie again, or would I rather watch Josh Kirby? In this case, I would rather watch Josh
God.
Kirby.
Wow.
I would. There's a plot.
Wow. Oh, no.
Just the lack of plot, I think, is what frustrated me. So I'm going to say 10. I'm going to say 10 logs and stripper boots. Or you can you don't have to change the graphic. 10 logs and stripper boots. I'm sorry. Paul, I'm sure you're into these. You like these. Let's end on a positive note here.
You know, everybody has sort of, especially in the times that we're going through right now, I think this is important, some comfort movies, right? The type of movie that you put on, you might not necessarily be paying attention the entire time. It might be on in the background or whatever. But the 1313 movies, that's what they are for me. They're comfortable. You don't have to worry too much about the plot because there isn't much. You kind of always know what's going to be going on. Regardless of whether or not it's 1313 UFO invasion, 1313 Bigfoot Island, 1313 giant killer bees, whatever the case may be, it's a comfort to me.
Paul, you have said that you thought your voice was changing because you've been in isolation so long due to the pandemic that you don't talk a lot.
Yeah, I haven't I haven't been speaking much because I live alone and I have no one to talk to.
So would you say then that perhaps the 1313 films are like a friend in the room with you?
Exactly.
A big,
exactly right.
Beefy, shaved, chesty friend.
Exactly right. Mike, what were you
going to
say?
I can get behind that. Okay. All right.
I don't remember.
I don't aggressively hate this movie. I just want to be clear. I don't hate the movie. It's not for me.
The bottom line is this. 72 driftwood statues in stripper boots.
Hell yeah.
I love watching this movie. It is so fun.
Perfect.
How many times were we, before we even did the review, were we messaging, posting on Facebook saying, Adam, you know,
that's not going away,
buddy.
That's not going away.
No, absolutely not.
No, it'll stay. And right. I hope, I genuinely don't think any of us who gave it bad reviews, meaning the rest of us.
all three of you.
I don't think it was a bad review, it was a bad number. And I think we all felt the same way of the sense of, like, for most people, even people who want to watch bad movies, this is rough. Like,
but the way that I look at it is, you know, David Ducotu.
I'm sorry, David.
Made a movie, and he's made a lot of these movies, and he's making a living off of this, and as a filmmaker, I feel like we should all be so lucky, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, much respect for finding your niche and making a living at it. That's...
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
What is that, Mike? What are you drinking?
Oh, that's Malort.
Oh, wow, Oof. Weird.
Oof. Is it?
No.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania...
The movie I'm picking is actually along the lines of another David Ducotu movie.
Oh my god.
Only this time, instead of a cat, we're dealing with a dog.
Uh-oh.
I will read you the description. Love takes a furry twist in this slice of romantic comedy. A young woman falls for a stray dog with a secret. By night, it becomes a man.
Oh my god.
Follow the journey of the golden retriever and the friend who gives him a home in Love on a Leash.
Oh, God.
It's Love at First Bark.
God.
I have never heard of that.
What year is this?
The title. This
Please tell familiar. Me it's recent. Please tell me
it
it's
is.
Recent.
Love on a Leash was from 2011.
Close enough.
Yeah, I have not seen it, but I wanted to keep, you know, in the spirit of Paul wanted to do low-budget movies for the last quarter of this
low
season.
Low-budget last quarter, baby!
So, yeah, I uncovered this this movie called Love on a Leash. It's Love at First Bark.
I'm barking on this one.
Wow, Jay's rolling the dice.
Yeah, I'm rolling the dice. Haven't seen it. Haven't seen it.
I'm picking a non-low-budget classic for my last pick. I gotta wash the taste of this out of my mouth.
Hey, Hudson, this isn't about you.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out! Touch them! They're touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Hey, B-Movie Maniacs, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We really appreciate it. If you liked the episode, you know, give us a thumbs up. Or, Mike, what do they do on the stuff?
Smash the subscribe, ding the bell. Oh, that's YouTube.
That's Pornhub.
Oh, Pornhub. Smash it on Pornhub. No, give us a rating on iTunes. Is the one apparently that matters? I don't fucking know, man.
You should by now.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't make any sense. The point is, go to iTunes if you have that iPhone. All you have to do is click the stars. You don't even have to leave text review. Just the star. I mean, it would be nice if it did. I would love it if someone told Paul off.
F this movie. Say F this movie.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think of us. We don't care.
But we do have a shit ton of shirts now, apparently, because we got wild.
Yeah, and including the brand new XIII
no,
Fist Island
we got,
shirt.
No.
It's super comfortable. You're gonna wanna Fist Island everybody you know.
And of course we got the brand new Save It for the Podcast t-shirt.
Of course we do.
Yes.
And Chris's I Just Wanna Say Real Quick shirts.
Yeah, yeah. We've had various artists doing artwork for these shirts and stuff like that, and we appreciate everyone who has bought them and all the pictures people have been sending us wearing them. It really warms my heart.
Who did that?
I was lying about it, but someone eventually would.
Well, let's just say by the time this podcast airs, there will be someone who's taken a picture of themselves in one of our shirts.
I think someone did.
That is my prediction.
Hey, you know what?
2020 owes us this
time much. For a shout out. I think Molly did. I think our friend Molly did buy it and send us a picture.
Thank you, Molly.
And then John and Jamie. And
Kevin Meeker, we're looking at you, bud.
Yeah, you dipshit.
You're working full time. Get on it.
Is he? He's probably not working right now.
Oh, dude, he's working so much he can barely talk to anybody.
Aw, poor guy.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for watching. I told my boys here that there was absolutely no way that this episode recording was going to go past 45 minutes. We are at...
Yep.
God, an hour and 32 minutes. So absolutely 100% good night.